Amen. and again, we know we got quite a few people, you know, traveling for the holidays, and some of them are listening online, and some of them are still eating turkey or just enjoying their families. So if you don't have to, but if you want to, you can move a little closer. You know, no seats are off limits. You know, we have to sit over there so we can have a seat. Besides that, you sit anywhere in the house. But you know, some of you may be comfortable where you are. That's fine too. All right, so we're gonna get into this word here, okay? And we're gonna talk about gifting, something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. My wife did a powerful job talking about God behind the scenes last week. Yeah, that was that, and then the last two Wednesdays on Matters of the Heart. Yeah, so that just pretty powerful. You know, this is a season where, you know, we try to empower everybody to share the gifts that's in them. You know, got a special treat coming up on Wednesday, right? So just and then of course we got Fast Week coming up here soon, right? Yeah, yeah. Fast Week is a week where we all get together, and of course we're fasting corporately as a congregation, but then we come here every night from Monday through Saturday, and there's two speakers a night, but it's not me. It could be people that's never spoken before. It could be some people that spoke every once in a while, but it could be people that, you know, have to really trust God at a whole nother level to share. You know, but it's always, we always have a powerful time. We actually learn. We get so much because everybody is really dependent on God. And, you know, when people depend on God, you can really experience some things. So that's December 4th through the 10th. All right, so let's talk about gifting a little bit here. We talked a little bit about it maybe, I think it was about 2 weeks ago maybe. And let's go to Proverbs 25. We'll open up with Proverbs 25. It's Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is the holiday that we've been locked in on. And I like it because it's just a reminder of something that we should be mindful of all the time. As my wife was talking about this morning in the praise and worship class, just to be thankful, to show a level of appreciation, to not take things for granted. My wife had emphasized that earlier this morning, how, you know, if you're really mindful to praise God for all he's done, all he's going to do, you're not as apt to take things for granted. It's so interesting, you know, on the pastor's blog this week, we talked about thankfulness and how sometimes you can get overconfident. The scripture says in Psalm 19:13, keep me from presumptuous sins. David was like, keep me from being overconfident. So most of us, if we're honest, most of our trouble has been resting with success. You know, getting overconfident, taking some things for granted, falling away from just the basic principles or the foundations that God has given us. And that's when we get ourselves in trouble. I know I gave this example, and I said, and I'm still on the topic. I know we're talking about gifting. We're about to go to Proverbs 25. But I know as I was growing in basketball in New Jersey, and at this time, as much as I remember, 1 year I talked trash. Only 1 year of my life, I read an article by Muhammad Ali, and he said that he would claim the round that he was gonna knock somebody out of him, because then now he had to back it up. Now if you ain't know him, you be like, man, who he think he is? But think about how you gonna tell somebody you're gonna knock him out in the fifth round. Now you gotta knock him out in the fifth round. He said, but that would help him with his nerves. Because he was so busy trying to make sure he honored what he said, he ain't had time to think about being nervous. So I took that 1 year, and I was talking trash the whole year. And then the thing is, with my creative mind, I'm carrying change in my pocket to the basketball court, West 4th Street, New York. And if I stole a ball from you, I would jingle the change and say, yeah, I took your money. You know, just stupid stuff like that. Then I do commercials. I'm a Washington fan, professional basketball fan. So Elmer Hayes had a commercial where it was this little young boy that was handicapped in the audience, and he wouldn't be talking, but they would be speaking for him. He'd be like, get that rhythm, get that rhythm, shoot that ball. That's my man. So I would come down court, get that rhythm, shoot that ball. That's my man. I run down the court. And then I would be an announcer. So I come down, Keith Bradley comes down the court, he crosses over, shoots a hook off the glass, and it's good. And I run down the court. Now, you know, that's getting people mad. And so I almost got in a whole lot of fights that year. And I also snapped my ankle more that year than I ever did in my life. Why? It was about who? It was about me. I wasn't humble. And so I learned the scripture in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee, not with thine own mouth, not with thine own lips. And from that point on, I realized, keep your mouth closed and just play. Right? Just shut up. So I've been shutting up since. But I shared that to say, you know, sometimes it's sometimes we, if we haven't accomplished certain things, if we're doing anything, we feel good. And like you want to tell somebody, you know, like it's like you hoping somebody recognize it. Like, look what I did, you know, like, you know, because, you know, like when you're young, like my granddaughter was playing at the dancing game and she was like, you see me, Grandpa? You see me? Well, some of us, we grow to a point where if we didn't get enough attention or affirmation, we're thinking that in our mind. You see me? You see me? But we got to watch that, because as you was talking about this morning, all the glory should be to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. But let's go to Proverbs 25:2. We're talking about gifting, and the reason why we have to talk about appreciation, because I heard Luke say this to me. I'm a child, Luke Y. He was talking to me, and Minister Sammy had did something for him. He said, no, he didn't do it. He said, God did it through him. Right? But everything we do, it's God doing it through us. It's not, we didn't do nothing. Right? It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, right? Ephesians 2. But let's go here. Proverbs 25. Work with me, y'all. We're going to short work. It's a holiday. But we still got to get it. So it said, it is the glory of God. Verse 2. Proverbs 25:2. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of King to search out the matter. And so there's something that's sealed. Treasure hidden in an earthen vessel. We're talking about committing to the dig, right? There's gifting on the inside, but God brings us around. Like we were talking about earlier, how we all need each other. You said don't take each other for granted. And then you said that when you guys went around the table to praise this morning, during the holiday, so they went around and praised. So the dad praised God, was thanking God for what he did. Oh, God did this, God did that. Oh, God is so this. Then the mom, whoa, God did this, God did that. Then the daughter, whoa, God did this. So the son was like, well, when we first started this exercise, I was thinking like, well, I ain't really got nothing to be all that thankful for right now. But hearing you guys, then he got fired up. Whoa, God did this, God did that. Well, my wife said the praise was contagious. Well, why? Because, see, by them, God is the praise of his people, right? You praising God shows up and it's stirring up all the gifts that's in you. See, the glory of God, the concealed thing, but it takes a man, a woman of God, to draw it out. You drew it out of him, right? Right? By you drawing on the presence of God, to drew it out of him. So, I think about this with Paul. Paul had this gift in him. So he's going down the road to Damascus. He's knocked off his horse, right? Right? This glory of God. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He says, you're going to run into a man, Ananias, right? He's going to lay hands on you and you're going to see. See, he was stricken blind, but how come God didn't just help him to see right there? He set it up where he had to depend on another man to pull that gift out, right? So he was for him to discover God's gift, God sent him to someone else that God wanted to use through him, right? To pour something out or to stir up something that's in him, right? See, God sent him to a man to draw it out. See, that's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but transformed. Be in a position where you're always evolving into what God has purposed you to do. Romans 12:2. Because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. See, Psalm 139 says God took special care. We've talked about that scripture here before. To design you, to make you like no one else, to make sure you couldn't compare yourself with no one else. All right, so every day God has set up the 1 Corinthians 12:18, God set the members in the body as it pleases him. So he set us all in places, in positions, interactions, where everybody that we encounter, God is setting us up to draw something out. Either you have to give something of yourself that's going to impact them, or they're going to give something of themselves to impact you. But the goal is to stir up the gifts that's in us. So we can't just take things for granted. We can't just blow things off. We was going to the gym this morning, and so the young lady had a flat. So now we're going to the gym this morning, we got to be at church. So you know we're on a schedule, right? Man, forget the schedule. The person got a flat. So we're going to help the person with the flat. But you could tell, I don't know, maybe because I look like I was from Jersey or something. I don't know what, but you could tell the person was uneasy. And so we're trying to help. Their tire was jacked up. So it was more like the thing was off kilter. So I couldn't even get the lug nuts off. But the whole time the person was running, like, almost like, why are you bothering me? Now the gift of God probably could have helped the lug nuts come off, even though the wheel, probably the tire rods or something, was broke. So I couldn't get it off. But you could tell, my wife came out. She said, babe, she almost like she was bothered that we stopped to help. Oh, so easily taken for granted, God sending you help. See, sometimes we could be so fearful. Ooh, we can reject help because of, well, we paranoid. Or my cousin was talking to me. She says, you know, like, my history of going to church. She says, I love going to the church. She says, but my history of going to church is like, I don't trust people. She says, so even when, she says, especially transparent, I'm not used to transparent people. She said, y'all so transparent. I'm like, okay, what's the catch? She says, at first it was, all right, there's a catch. It's too good to be true. It's got to be an angle here. She says, but I realize now, because now when I see the Harrises or I see Colina, I see Athena, well, hey, they all like that. You know what I'm saying? So after a while, it's like, okay, I guess this is real. You know, that's what she's saying. That's, you know, I'm paraphrasing, cuz. But she's like, we all like that. But so when we met, I'm from Newark, New Jersey. She's from Columbus, Ohio. So we met, engaged 5 months after we met. We got married 5 months after that. And it's 24 years just this past August. So when we met, she was like, now I'm just as genuine as I could be. Hold on, man. And as I'm starting my life over, I'm resetting things. I'm not having sex till I get married. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? But she prayed for a guy that loved God, that didn't want to have sex till he get married. He comes, and she's like, let me see if this... You look, what you're praying for comes, but your fears or your paranoia or what you've been through can actually have you, what? Reject the very thing that God sent you. And trust me, there was some work here. You know, I had to put in some work. I had to pay some dues, go through some hurdles, climb some mountains, jump over some hills, dodged some bullets, right, because it wasn't easy. It was like, because she had been through some things, right? Took a whole lot of love, right, because, trust me, like, it wasn't like I was just, it wasn't like he cute. It wasn't even like that. It was like, let me just, it was like she was with a clipboard. Okay, check. Let me test this, you gonna really be holy thing. Let me test it. She was testing me, right? Thank God I passed the test. Woo! You understand what I'm saying? Like, so God is sending us some stuff, and he's about to send us some other stuff towards the end of the year going into next year, but we can't, like, the temptation, Jackie, is to go, man, I've been in this wilderness so long, I probably ain't gonna never get out. We talked to my niece on the phone, and she was confessing some things. I said, niece, come on now. I said, you got to say what you desire, not what you see. I said, the Bible says you're snared by the words of your mouth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 6:2 and Proverbs 18:21. I gave her my testimony. That's what I used to say. Right? Because I said, we're in another place, so we gotta keep our faith forward. Right? Not look behind. Forget the things that are behind you. Press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Philippians 3. All right, so let's keep going here with the gifting. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The scripture says God knows the hairs of your head. Like he's intimate with every detail of you. Right? So you're, you know, Miles Monroe said, you're born an original, why die a copy? Okay, so I got another phrase. We're born an original. Why do we live as copies? Why do we spend so much time trying to keep up? And I gave this example the other week, but I thought this was amazing. Amazing. There is a high school in Asia, has 400 students. They all got perfect scores on the SAT. 400, not four. 400. This just shows you the possibilities of what the expectations is. And so, sometimes with us, we don't achieve that greatness. We dumb it down in conformity. We can't be us because we're trying to keep up with them. Right? The scripture says in the last days, Master, let me in. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I do not know you. That's not what I designed. That's not who I designed. Matter of fact, your ID to get into my presence, to get into my kingdom, is the authentic you, the uncorrupted you, the untainted you, right? The mature you, not anyone else, right? So a lot of times what the holdup is, we were talking about what God's going to do, the holdup is detox. Like, we got to get some compromise out of our system. We got to get some corruption out of our system. We got to get some lust out of our system. Right? We got to get some lazy out of our system. We got to get them fears out of our system. You know, because if God sends you what you have, your fears will get in the way. You'll lose it. Hey, there's many relationships. The person come along. Well, I'd use us. We first came along. When I say the real deal, not that I'm all that sweet for anybody else, but I was designed for her. So I'm the real deal. And we used to be sitting at the restaurant. I'd be like, babe, it's Keith. Like, I'm not them. Well, God is saying what he's sending to you, what he's about to send to you, it ain't what happened. It ain't them. Right? Embrace it for what it is, not for where you've been. Embrace it for what it is, not for where you've been. All right, so just keep that in mind. All right, so some of us haven't crossed over to realize that God is intentional and maximizes every moment of time. So if he tells us to walk circumspectly and to redeem the time, let's look over here in Ephesians 5 real quick. We're still talking about gifting, but it's an intentional, it's an accurate thing. It's not an all-over-the-place thing. It's a narrow-way thing, not a broad-way, right? We're not on a street called Broadway. We're on a narrow-way, right? A clear, precise path. So Ephesians 5. 15. Ephesians 5:15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That's intentional, right? It says, look, but not as fools, but as wise. Fools are all over the place. Fools are, they're confused. But it's saying, fools are, what does the scripture says? Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Everything that's communicated in the wind, they're running with. So they're going to be up and down. You know, something I talked to my son about. You know, I know he's 39 now. But listen, man, you just can't be rolling with what everybody say. You got to roll with what God says. This got to be your compass. Because, see, you haven't vetted them. But you've been from the foundations of your life, you've been exposed to him. Right. So this is the thing. Like, so we don't want to be all over the place. Walk circumspectly. Right. It says, okay, but not as fools, but wise. Look, verse 16, redeeming the time. It says buying up the time or maximizing your moments is what that's saying. Because the days are evil. If you just all over the place or you just winging it, or let's say you give up. Let's say you're weary and well-doing. So it's almost like, well, I'm not going to do nothing bad or good. I'm going to be neutral. There's no such thing. That's like saying I'm not going to fly or stay on the ground. I'm going to be neutral. You're subject to gravity, right? You're going to be what? Grounded. You got to do something to fly. You have to do something. We've talked about that here before, but we got to do something to stay locked in, maximize our moments, okay? So we think we can still play with our destinies because we see others play with theirs. We see entertainers, athletes, some fools. I ain't say who was a fool. I said some fools. We watch them play with theirs, so we think I can play with ours. Now, I'm not going to say the name right now, but I was talking to my niece last night about this particular person is quite famous. But what people don't realize, this person was famous. They had one hit album. One. Now, it happened to sell 10 million records, but one hit album. They lived today was 24 years old. So ain't nobody thinking about all that. There's people right now still trying to follow that person's lyrics. I'm not putting a person down. What I'm saying is birds of a feather flock together. They also fly to the same destination. So you're ascribing to someone that lived today with 24. All that you saw and know about this person took place within a few years. Gone. No one even realizes that. Like God got like a, he did all his work fearfully and wonderfully made so you can have a couple years of life. So he says, just think it through. Right, so we don't play with your life because people are willing to play with theirs. Remember, like, I learned this, like heroes shape history through both their personal attributes, right, and divine inspirations. All right, so hear this. Personal attributes is your talent. Heroes shape life through talents. Divine inspirations is your gifts. Divine inspirations, things that you've been given from God to inspire other people. Now, that's your gifts. So, that wasn't my quote. I got that. I got the quote of divine inspirations and personal attributes from Thomas Carlyle. So I ain't that sweet. So this is the thing. I learned this, like we were talking about just now, about praise and how one person's praise impacts another. But one person's gifts impact somebody else's. And so what I realize is, like, if you examine the lives of heroes, you uncover your true nature. Because remember, we talked about this in a teaching maybe a couple months ago, like, whose hero are you? That's why the scripture says, Hebrews 11, is goes through the list of faith and the heroes of faith or the great cloud of witnesses. If you read through Hebrews 11 every day, you can't help but to be inspired. You start to think about what Sarah, Abraham did. You know, you start thinking about what Joseph did, or those guys that was with David. One guy was with David, they're in the cave, people coming out to take him out, and David was thirsty. So the guy went through the army to get David a drink. Just to get him a drink. But what it says, the guys with him were skilled. They were specially skilled. Some of them were skilled. Like, it was almost like what was this movie? We watched all these movies, you know. I might have been Return of the King. Was guys that shot arrows. But it was like some of them shot arrows. Some of them were smart. Some of them were strategic. But he had all these special people around him, and they used their gifts. So them using their gifts, being few, was a lot greater than the other talented people of many. David didn't have a whole army. He just had a few. This is, I think of the story of Gideon. Gideon was ready to fight, got together 30,000. God's like, well, you ain't going to win that war with 30,000. He said, basically, you got 29,700 people that's going to get in the way of that victory. He said, he told him to take him through a test, drinking water, whatever, but he came up with 300. Gideon won with 300.
No, not 30,000. He went against thousands that had 300. Why? Because it was gifted. See, us gifted is and in harmony together is greater than what everybody else is doing. See, we you can't get caught up in keeping up, right? All right, so let's keep that in mind. So
I gave you that quote before about Nietzsche. The goal of humanity lies in this high specimens. I don't know what Nietzsche do, so don't.
He just quoted Nietzsche. Nietzsche beat up somebody last week. I don't know what he did. I just that stood out to me. I'm a quote guy because it's like a crystallization of years of experiences and thoughts and impacts and empowerment. Right? All right, so the gift, look, the goal of humanity lies in its highest specimens. So we achieve and we elevate in life through those that are operating in their gifts. Right? So people that are gifted have the ability to transform. I said this the other week, have the ability to transform the leap of life into a walk. See, so the things that have really changed your life are when you leap. Not safe steps, not conservative, but like when you really leap. Like, sweetheart, our life has been changed through leaping, not safe steps. You know, I met her, and that was one of the greatest moves of my life. I left New Jersey. I was pursuing professional basketball back then. But God told me to go to Ohio. Like, nobody in Newark, New Jersey, trying to go to Columbus, Ohio. Nobody. Interview them. It's not like, when I grow up, man, I'm going to go to Columbus, Ohio. I was so jacked up, I didn't even know Cleveland was in Ohio. I used to like Cincinnati Reds back in the day because I played shortstop. I didn't know it was in Ohio. I mean, I'm thinking about Ohio, like I was like, oh, Cincinnati's in Ohio. Okay. You know, so, I'm sorry, babe, that wasn't nice to dog out the Buckeye State. But the best, my entire life changed going to Ohio. But I leaped. I was where I wanted to be after making some mistakes in college, basketball wise. And God said, go to Ohio. I was like, Ohio, they probably play basketball in Ohio. But I had to leap. I remember I was working, I had a secure job with the state of Ohio. God said, okay, this is time for you to let that go. I had to work for the church making less money. I was getting paid. I was getting raises for uniform changes. You know, like, we got new uniforms. We're gonna give you raises. I got raises because they said, well, you know, you guys are in a high level situation, crisis situation. We can give you another raise. The union was getting us raises like every 4 or 5 months. I had to go work for the church by faith. I had to leap. Now y'all know good and well. Y'all know the testimony. We leap coming out here by ourselves with $1,625 to start the church. Right? So the leaps are what affects your life. But see, when we're walking in gifting, the leap is like taking a walk. it's not, okay, hey, Mr. Sam, we hanging out, we buddies. Hey, Sam, you know, I need you to watch, man. You know, here, I'm going to tie this rope, you hold the other end. I'm going to leap just in case I start dangling, pull me back in. Right? No. Leap is like, yo, I'm about to go leap. About to go leap. It's like taking a walk, right? So when you operating in gifting, though, not when you lean at your own understanding, not when, what did you say, you're self-conscious, right? Because you're gonna focus on the fears, right? You're going to focus on the limits when you're self-conscious, right? So again, a leap is different. But you guys was talking about it in praise and worship earlier. It takes your mind off of yourself, right? Like, you got to take your mind off of yourself. You use 2 Chronicles 20 when Jehoshaphat and them had all those armies coming at them. He said, listen, we got all these armies. Let's get on our face and worship. And he magnified God. See, y'all hear me pray it all the time. Lord, I lift you up, magnify you. That's open to prayer with that. Why? Because the Bible says if you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Why? Every other situation Everything else we're dealing with is like small grains of sand in comparison to what God is doing. So you just need to focus on God. Magnify God, not the circumstances. Right? Magnify God, not the circumstances. See, because if you focus on the circumstances, you expand them. And you're saying the circumstances is bigger than God's ability to deliver me. Right? All right, so we'll keep going. All right, so now the scripture tells us, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're still talking about gifting here. And gifting is not something everybody's been given a gift, which we'll get into it, but everybody don't utilize the gift or even care about the gift or actually appreciate the gift. Right? So easy to take them for granted. What you was talking about, babe? You was talking about the gift of teaching that Minister Jackie had. So he's like, you have a gift when there's a demand for it. The appreciation is, I'm excited about using it, right? Didn't you say something like that, right? So, but some people just kind of leave the gift dormant, let it atrophy, right? So 1 Corinthians 6:12 tells us how we start this gifting process. I gave you the wrong scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 6. I apologize. 17. It says, wherefore, 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Look, and touch not the unclean thing. He says, and I will receive you. Remember, as many comes to this God in his last days, says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. So what he says, come out from among them, be ye separate. See, so you have this gift, and he says, keep the gift in a position where it can flourish and grow. Don't take the gift around poison and weeds. Keep it in a climate where it can flourish. It's basically what he's saying. So come out from among them. They're corrupting your gift. No. It's like you Superman. You're gifted. You're Superman or Superwoman. Right? Now you're going to run around kryptonite? You're going to live with it. Hang out with it. That's what happens when we're in the wrong environment. It's like Superman around kryptonite. And I gave this testimony a long time ago. So I was traveling with this semi-pro team I was playing with. And don't look at me like I was sweet. I wasn't making no money. Peanuts. You know, it was just like, just so I could say, you know, you just say you played. You know what I'm saying? So we traveling, and now I'm living for God. So I was in Ohio living for God. So we drove up to the... Man, y'all gonna remember this, but this is how I process it. Don't take it personal. All right, so we drove up, and when we got on the property, I felt something. Like something was now when I look back, probably was the Holy Spirit saying, dude, get back in the car. But you know, I'm about to travel, play against these different teams. I'm trying to get the look. So I can get to the league. And so I hit override button, not literally, but on the inside. You know how God's telling you something and you feel it, but you're afraid to do what God tells you. So you figure if you didn't acknowledge it, he didn't tell you. Oh, I'm the only one that did that? Yeah, some of y'all did it this week. So anyway, so I did that. So I'm traveling with these people. I'm telling you, it's like Superman around kryptonite. I remember being in a hotel, opened my Bible up, and I couldn't read it. Literally, like I'm trying to read. I opened it up to read. But it was like this force field in the room. Then I remember trying to pray. I couldn't get the words out. I ain't get it. It was like Superman around kryptonite. So we got to don't put ourselves in an atmosphere that's going to sap our power. That's not going to stir up our gift, but it's going to take the life that ignites or generates the gift, right? See, so because the Bible says we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So Christ was the gift given to us, right? But he was the gift given us to give us what? Abundant life and everlasting life. This is John 10:10. I came that you might have life. So basically saying to wake up the gift, but and that life have it more abundantly, right? Exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, right? But then the scripture says, the wages of sin, the payment for sin is death. It's almost like sin is the kryptonite. Anytime, we did it with the baptism with the kids. You know, if you take a fish out of water, what happens? Okay, take a tree out of the ground, take man out of God. Right. So when you separate from God, you start the process of dying. Now, you know, if you take a fish out of water for a certain period of time, it's still alive. You know that, right? But if you leave it out of the water, it eventually doesn't get what it needs to sustain life, and it dies. You know, you could take a plant, uproot it, take it somewhere else, and it doesn't die right away. But if you leave it in that atmosphere outside of where it gets its nutrients to grow, what happens? Eventually, it dies. You know, you get those roses that I'm always getting you. They be looking sweet for a period, particular period of time, but after a while, it's out of the element that for it to flourish, and it dies, right? Same thing with us. So we go, well, I just sinned last week. I didn't die. Stay outside of the presence of God and see what happens. Eventually, you start to, you know, atrophy. So again, we're not appreciating that gift, right? Ephesians 4:7. All right, so trying to make short work of this because it's holiday, and I know. So Ephesians 4:7, it says, but unto every one of us, I'm sorry, am I rushing? Yeah, y'all there? Ephesians 4:7, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So God gave us Christ. Right? And look here. And it says, every one of us is given grace, the ability to do, according in harmony with the measure of the gift of Christ. So you have this gift, and now you're being measured based on the gift that you were given. How are you utilizing it? It's a Resurrection Sunday. What do we talk about? Are we living a life that shows value to Christ being resurrected? In other words, the life you're living now, did Christ have to die and rise? Because with all due respect, sometimes we're living a life, I can see Christ going, well, I could have just stayed in heaven. Why did I come down to die for you? You're not benefiting, or we're talking about appreciation. You're not showing appreciation for the life that I died for you to have. See, so now God's playing off of that. Like, what are you doing with the gift that I gave you? He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you taking advantage of the life that he died for you to have? He died to bring you back into fellowship with me. Are you working to be in fellowship with me? Or are you working to be conformed to them? All right, so let's keep that in mind. And so now Christ, God gave us Christ. Christ gave us a gift, the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I wish we had more time for the Holy Spirit. We'll do that next time we talk. But the Holy Spirit was given to give us power to properly distribute the life we've been given. So Christ gave us the life. The Holy Spirit was given to us to distribute, to disperse the life. Right? God gave us Christ. Christ gave us the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit give us? Gifts. Look, he gave us gifts, right? And see, and the gifts draw others into the light, back into the presence of God, right? That is, see, you know, that gift is faith. See, faith in what's in us, that we can use it by the power of God, by the mercies of God, by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right? Because God has dealt to every man, what? The measure of faith, right? We attach our faith, we can do anything. Because we can see what's in us and believe God. See, again, there's so much uncertainty. Sometimes, what did you say, being self-conscious? So my wife gives this testimony of doing praise and worship, dancing. She says, you know, she's not a dancer, but she says she started dancing. So let's say I'll just do it like that, right? It probably was. Right, so see, that's just that she's no rhythm, no two-step. And then she said she glimpsed and saw herself in the mirror and stopped dancing. I was like, that's embarrassing. Ain't nobody in the room. She said if the mirror wasn't there, she would have kept on dancing no matter how foolish she looked. Did you get it? If the mirror wasn't there, she'd have kept on worshiping regardless of how she looked. If the mirror's not there, maybe you'll keep on dispersing the gift regardless of how you look. Some of us need to break those mirrors. Ooh, so you can't see yourself. Right? So you can't see yourself. So now you freely has been given to you a freely gift, regardless of how you look. They're going to think this is weak. I'm going to talk about Jesus. They're going, here we go. Here go Trina again talking about David in the Bible. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. Okay, here we go. David. Come on, Trina. But Trina ain't looking in the mirror. She said, ain't no mirror. She don't care what anybody think. You don't realize the impact it's having. See, we do things by, look, you're not looking at numbers. God tells you to do something, you don't care about numbers, you're just being obedient. Dare not to compare yourself with yourself and others. You're just being obedient. Somebody got to do it. Somebody got to pioneer something, build something, weather the hurdles and storms, and come out in a prosperous place so others will see, even though it don't look as favorable as everybody else. I seen him come through. I can come through. Somebody. Is there one? Right? You see what I'm saying? You got to be able to do that. Ain't that right? See, so somebody got to see you weather all that weight and all that, get through the hurdles of finances, whatever. Make some mistakes along the way. But guess what? We talked about this earlier, right? You've been talking about who? God. This is a God got to come through. You talking about God regardless of your circumstances. If you looked in the mirror, you ain't talking about God. Because you worried about, well, people are going to say, well, hold on a second. You're talking about God. What about this situation you went through? Where was God then? Well, Jesus could say that. I mean, didn't they do that on the cross? Oh, let your God come pull you off that cross. Come on, Jesus. Where your God at now? It was a bigger goal than proving something to them. It was being obedient to him. Everything was about, we talked about this driving. When we talked about, like, if we could just focus on obedience. That's what it's about, just being obedient. Sometimes we go, well, you know, you got to understand, oh, I know they spend all their money on drugs, but we probably need to pay their rent for them anyway. Is that obedience? Or is that penance? Right? Because Numbers 11, we were talking about a driving yesterday. Look. What's this guy's name? Aaron's sons died not being obedient. Aaron couldn't even mourn them. In our day and time, so, what kind of preacher are you? You ain't going to mourn your kids. I'm being obedient. That's the preacher. Because, see, he was responsible for everybody, interceding for everybody's life. Peter left the tabernacle. That would have affected everybody, not just them two sons. It's more about obedience than benevolence and kindness. I'm not saying don't be benevolent and kind. Y'all know, we give away everything at the church. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we give away everything because we're being obedient, not just out of penance or so somebody can look at us like, boy, they sure was there for me. All right. So we're on the same page. All right. So look. So faith is a gift that our gifts afford us. Let's look here. Ephesians 2. I think we was just in Ephesians 4, so we're not that far away. Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now I'm not talking about the grace that I've been hearing about that says you could do whatever anything you want. It's all under grace. That's not what the Bible says. Because the Bible says, shall I sin so grace shall abound? And then Paul said, God forbid, no. He says, don't you realize what you yield your members to, you servants to? You're not supposed to serve sin, you're supposed to serve God. He said, no, grace ain't to give you a license to sin. Paul said, my liberty shouldn't be an occasion to the flesh. That's not the grace we're talking about there. So I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole nother message. I know some of y'all gonna see this and get all sensitive. All right, so it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Look, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The ability to do you can access through faith, but even that faith didn't come from you. It's the gift of God. Romans 12:3. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Look, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing we can do to earn our atonement. See, when people get it all mixed up, they go, I'm not trying to earn grace. I'm not trying to earn. No, you can't earn atonement. But living right is because I love God. Living right, what? Coming out from among them is protecting my gift. Is guard my heart with all diligence. Living right has nothing to do with earning eternity. Living right has something to do with protecting the life that God died for. It said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Didn't you teach that in Matters of the Heart? Right? All right, so then it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Right? It says, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So the goal is to walk in good works. Didn't the scripture just say that? Ephesians 2:10, right? So as we think about that, so God is, you know, so we have the, God gave us Christ. Christ gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave us gifts. And we access these things by faith. And so this is the thing. Christ is the manifestation of God on the earth, right? Christ is the manifestation. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of Christ within us. Right? Our gifts are the manifestation or the demonstration of power of the Holy Spirit within us. Okay. Christ is the manifestation of God on earth. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of Christ within us. Right? This is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. There's no limits. You're unstoppable. Right? But our gifts are the manifestation or the demonstration of power of the Holy Spirit within us, right? Because the gifts operate as he wills. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, he says, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, in kryptonite, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Right? So that's the manifestation of the Spirit within us, right? And see, the interesting thing about this, the scripture says Jesus had the Holy Ghost without measure. So he had all the gifts, full measure of the gifts, right? John 4:34, right? We have the Holy Spirit with measure until we're infilled. So there's an indwelling when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, right? I have the Holy Spirit within me, indwelling within me. Well, this is over in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost since you believed? Since you believed me, they already believed. They already believed in Christ. He says, we didn't know there was another baptism, except for John's baptism. Oh, no. Dude, there's a whole nother level. You got to be infilled. You don't want the Spirit dormant in you. You want it stirring up the gifts in you. So we did I was with the kids last week, teaching the kids while my wife was in here. And so we had a little prop. So we had a bottle. We had a vase with an ink pen cap in it. So the ink pen cap was the gifts dwelling in us, treasure hidden in our earthen vessel. You know, you talk about commit to the dead. All right, so I said, how do we get the gifts out without putting our hands on it? Without wrestling against flesh and blood? Without us controlling it? And so one of the kids has saw the example before, so I told him to be quiet. But what you do is you pour water in it, and the gifts start rising to the top. They just kept rising to the top. To it, when it overflows, the gifts come out and disperse all over the place. So I told them the glass was them. You know, we're made of clay, but glass is made of what? Sand, right? And I said, so the pen cap is the gifts. The water is the word. And so I poured a little bit of water in there. I said, is that enough? I said, verse one scripture a day. Is that enough? And he's like, no, it's not enough. I said, okay, well, tell you what. You're going to read a chapter a day. I poured a little bit more water in there. Is that enough? And say, no, it's not a, some more. So I had to keep pouring till the cup ran over. till they were filled with the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:19. Right? I had to keep, so look, when I poured a little bit of word in, guess what? I said, that's more word than you had before. But it's not enough to get the gifts out. So we want to fill ourselves up till our cup run over because we're trying to get the gifts out, man. Why? Because the gift makes room for you. It says it opens doors for you. Right? It says it draws you before great men. People walking, they're focusing on whatever they're doing, and the gift comes out, and it's such a bright light. Whoa! Okay, I don't know what you're doing or who you are, but you need to come on this road with me. Whatever that gift is, it's stirring up something in me. What? The gifts. I need you around to stir up the gifts. I have a young man that was a part of when I was in youth ministry in Ohio. So he goes for an interview to Dell. Didn't qualify for the job. And so they asked him questions. All he could think of is what he'd been learning. He was actually one of the youth leaders, too. What he'd been learning through the process. He said, so I quoted what the pastor said and what the youth minister said. He said, so they called me back and said, listen, man, you really don't qualify for this job. He says, but the stuff that you said, something in me tells me I need you working here. I don't even know why. I think right now he travels back and forth to Singapore or somewhere. Didn't even qualify. Why? Ooh, the gifts stirred up the gift. His gifts came to the surface. He wasn't self-conscious. He in an interview, instead of like being all nervous, hope I answer all the questions right. Well, I don't know what the questions are. I'm just going to talk about what I know. I told him when he talked to me, I said, don't be sitting in there be on defense. Go to that interview on offense. You have stuff you asking them like, listen, I'm valuable property here. The interview is for two. It's for them and you. Yeah, I'm interviewing you too to see if I want to work here. Right? But you got to be able to see that you're gifted, right? And so, but what brings it to the surface? Look, the entrance of the word bringeth light, gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, 130. More word I get, the more I see. Look, why are we depressed? Why are we frustrated? Why do we think what's happened is always going to happen? Self-consciousness, right, and not focusing on the gifts. Gifted people they're not worried. They walk in with a sense of, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is God's giving me this gift, and everywhere this gift goes, it opens doors. I don't know how the door's going to open, but all I know is I'm showing up with the gift. All right, so, I was reading this, and but the Bible says Jesus captured Satan, right? He's captured. Hey, know what his future is? Locked up. But now, if you think about it, if you read through Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it talks about how Satan used to be Lucifer. And he was, remember I told you, it's three sets of angels. You got the worshiping angels, you got the messenger angels, you got the warrior angels. The messenger angels had an archangel or prince over them that was Gabriel. The warrior angels had an archangel or prince over them that was Michael. The worshiping angels had an archangel and prince over them that was Lucifer. And then out of all of the three princes, the top prince or top person was Lucifer. He moved and created an atmosphere to stir up the gifts in God. Worship stirs up the gifts. So when he moved, He was brilliant. It says he was adorned in jewels. And then it said he just moving created the best, the greatest music you ever heard in your life. You know, that's why you got to watch the music you listen to, because he's corrupted Satan now, So what do you think his number one attribute is? Music. But, you know, that's only for people that's really trying to do the right thing at high levels. You know, the people that's compromising, like he don't even need to show up to tempt you. You leaping in the sand. We're talking about the people that are really trying to live holy. He'll try to deceive them because he's a mix master, right? What? Wouldn't he be? I'm sorry. That's what's in the mix teaching. I know we don't want to hear about our music and messing y'all up. Alright, so the thing about it is, he says, I'm gonna ascend on high. I'm gonna be better or equal to the Most High. Well, there was authority in the atmosphere, and he tried to steal it for himself. He already had authority. Next to God, it was Lucifer. So look, Jesus said, I saw him fall from heaven like an angel of light. Soon as he started to think that he can usurp God's authority like this, he was gone. But the Bible says he's captured. But not only is he captured, the power he hoarded for himself is captured and dispersed to all men. God says, I'm seeking worshipers. The Bible says he's seeking worshipers. They that worship me should worship me in spirit and truth. Truth is final reality, authentic design, in gifting, evolving, or moving from that caterpillar to a butterfly. And so he's seeking all to worship him through dispersing our gifts to one another. There's worship all over the place. Every time we bring a gift to the surface, it's honoring and showing appreciation and value to God. It's been freely given to you, Matthew 10. So freely we should give it. We're hoarding it. We're so busy, folks, I can't believe they did that to me. You know that's a diversion? That's kryptonite? It's trying to stop you. It wants you to be depressed. Depressed. Pressed down the gift. Because you was moving. Think about how you feel when you're feeling good, when everything is rolling. Man, you just, look, if it's joy, you're giving away joy. If it's singing, you're singing. Boy, you're singing around the house. You're singing all the time. If you're rolling in finances, you're just giving away. Nah, I got that, man. I got that. Don't worry about that. I got that. You ain't giving a tip. You're almost paying for the thing three times. Why? Because, you're feeling good. Now, when you go through heat, when things don't go your way, How you rolling in? You should be rolling the same. Because the scripture says the sufferings of this present time are worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. It ain't supposed to stop you. Jesus lost somebody. John died. What did he do? He raised somebody from the dead. He started healing folk. So every time there was an attack, he went on offense with the gifts. We doing that? I can't believe this happened to me. Oh! Self-conscious again. Got to take our focus off ourselves. And just, all right, all right, you got me on that one. I'm just going to get these gifts. You got me on that one. I'm just going to get these gifts out. I read the autobiography of O.J. Simpson. Don't crack no jokes. Back in the day, I'm older. I used to be one of my idols, I told y'all before, my 8th grade yearbook under my name is Juice. when I read the autobiography, his coach, what he did was, when he would run, he would throw sandbags at him, heavy sandbags, so he'd get used to people trying to tackle him. And so he had to keep on running through, even though the sandbags were thrown at him. Go back and look at some old film. People coming to tackle him, he keep on running. Like I know some people that play, soon as you touch them, they fall right down. Hey, that hurt. Coach, he tackled me. Yeah, that's the whole idea. But OJ, back in the day, I know this is on film, y'all, I know y'all, work with me here. This is before some things, right? He just kept on running. Well, see, guess what? The circumstances, the person that broke your heart, the debt, person that betrayed you, person that keeps talking about you. Those sandbags, man. You got to keep on running, man. Whoa. You just got to keep on going, man. You can't stop just because the circumstance come out of you. It's trying to stop you from dispersing the gifts. Listen, that dude ran his best. Back in the day. It's back in the day, y'all. Stop. Like, under some great act. Listen, he had to win a rushing title. Yeah, I think he had to run like 200, some yards you don't even run. It was snowing that day. And people trying to tackle him. Where you can slip and slide, he's still getting through the... He just kept on going. The adverse circumstances didn't stop the momentum. Did you get the point? And he ended up doing great things that are engraved in time, that are inspiring others. Y'all gotta stop getting past what he did recently. I'm just using it as an example. Because I remember that. I remember that when I read the book, you know, and I actually thought I was gonna play football, so, you know, I wanted to get all the inside stuff. Right? So this is the thing. What I'm trying to tell you is these things thrown at you, these things that's trying to stop you, please. She said, Master Jim said, you got to use your spiritual agility. Man, keep on moving, man. You can't let that stuff stop you. Because see, you got to be seeing. See, he saw the touchdown. He saw, whoa, what? Goal line. That's all he saw. You got to see. The Bible says Jesus endured the cross because of the glory that was set before him in Hebrews 12. And that's all he saw is the gifts in its greatest brilliance. That's what you got to see. But the only way you see that is to soak up that word, man. Bring those gifts to the surface where they're not something dormant that's like a fantasy. The gifts are real to you. Keep the gifts in atmosphere that's going to keep them empowered and flourish. So when you decide, you know, I done did some gift stuff these last couple weeks, man. I went too bad. 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row. Look, two services, and I called in the girl talking guy talk. What? Did a Bible study one day this week for a half hour. I ain't did that in a long time. Then right after the 2 weeks, we right back to doing what we did before. You know, because we're treating ourselves to poison, to compromise. No, the purpose is for you to experience the fullness of God. Why fall short of that? With just some little success, a couple of dollars, a few thousand here and there. Are we serious? No, you want your cup running over, right? Don't you? Running over. You don't want to be thinking about what you give to people. That's what God wants for all of us. Right, I know it's Thanksgiving. I just thought I'd inspire us a little bit. Let's stand on our feet. That's enough.